Well, good morning. We're back to Vancouver and we're back with an expert in his field. Bill Laidler is the owner, operator, the president of Laidler Development Lands, and he holds seminars. Welcome back to the channel.
Ozzy, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, we've done this show twice, and we're specializing, rather, you're specializing it, and I specialize talking about how to maximize single family home value by putting a 3-6plex on it. And we've had two videos on it. And I urge you to go to the OzBuzz toolbox and on video, on Jurok video, and get his view on the details on it. So it's going to summarize briefly what it's all about. It applies to British Columbia. And then, you know, I think the exciting thing today is he's going to walk us through an actual example to see what you'll be facing. Because what do we want? We want an increased return of maybe over 20%. You teach that. You want to have the timeline go down from 5 years maybe to 2.5 years, which saves the investors a lot of money, you know. And the whole idea of understanding what you can do as opposed to what the city wants you to do and so on. I'm really excited about it. So, Bill, take it away.
Well, thank you, Ozzy. It's been an exciting time. Over the last 6 months, since the small-scale multi-unit housing was announced on June 30th, the city of Burnaby has had over 180 applications, and the city of Vancouver, we're told, now have over 600 applications since their multiplex zoning was announced in September of 2023.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot, right? And so do they all know what they're doing?
Unlikely. We see that there's going to be winners and losers in this space. It's going to be a supply-driven market, and the builders who build the right product at the right quality and are able to sell at the right prices will be successful. But there'll be a lot of trial and error from some groups along the way.
Well, and that's so because it's so wild and diverse, even what the municipalities, they take the BC law and then add their own stuff to it. I understand in the Fraser Valley, a couple of municipalities, you can only build a duplex with a suite in the basement. Yeah, maybe you can go to 6 suites, but how are you going to maximize, how are you going to make a profit on those kind of things?
Very difficult, very difficult. For any of the viewers who are interested on what the zoning bylaw is for each of the 17 Metro Vancouver cities, we do have a cheat sheet. It's a free download from laidleracademy.com/cheat-sheet. And we update that regularly with the new zoning bylaws as they get introduced by city councils and are being updated continuously as each city goes through their own exploration process.
Well, the thing is, the city, you can't really blame them all the time. I mean, we're saying, okay, we want to build 150 new sixplexes. Okay, well, what about sewers and roads and hydro and all of those things, and how do they work together? And I guess that's where you as an expert come in. So you really need to have somebody to study this and then saying, okay, I really wouldn't do this at all on this lot. Or, my God, let's find two or three more. Was that about right?
Definitely, definitely. We're learning through each application. And one of the biggest examples is in Burnaby. The boulevard street trees are becoming increasingly important. And they're important because they're dictating where the driveway location to the multiplex must be. And depending on where the driveway is, will affect the design of the entire site, especially when you take grades and hills into account. Some properties need a specific location for that driveway. And if you get moved to a different location, it could kill the site's profitability completely.
Well, you see, that's for instance, who would know that? You know, all I know is, oh, I can build a six-pack. Well, yeah, the devil, as always, is in the details. And it's not like I have some Chinese clients some time ago that were looking to build, and then they had feng shui. You know, you had to have the right side of the hill. And well, this is real life, not feng shui, although it's very important to the people. But here the city says, this is our feng shui. This is what you must do. That's where you come in.
Definitely.
Can we have an example of what one would go through?
Yeah. Yes. So in Burnaby, there are a number of different options. One of the properties that will be included in Laidler Capital. Laidler Capital is an investment fund for homeowners, community members, who are local in our community that want to participate in development profits, can participate with us spreading their investment out across 6 to 8 projects to reduce the risk that they're investing all in on one project that doesn't work out. You'll benefit from the diversified portfolio of 6 to 8 local builders. And one of those properties that'll be brought in is located at 6339 Dufferin. Here's an example of the cheat sheet. For anyone who's interested in the cheat sheet, it's
Yeah, I think
laidleracademy.com
that's
slash
great.
cheat dot
That's
sheet.
great. Yeah, you have to mention that for sure. Send it to me and I'll put it in the description down below.
Perfect. This is one of the properties that we had at the Small Builder Showcase. The Small Builder Showcase was at Science World in November. We had opening remarks from the mayor of Burnaby and highlighted 10 local builders' small-scale multi-unit housing projects. This specific one on Dufferin is by Laidler Developments. We acquired it 2 months ago and have received formal approval back from the city for a subdivision into 2 lots. And we'll build 6 slab-on-grade townhomes on each new property.
Wow. So how big would a property like that be?
The property is 15,000 square feet. It's a 100 feet of frontage by 150 feet of depth. An older home, 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom that was built in 1926 and listed for just under $4 million.
And the idea is, of course, that it is the zoning is single family.
Yeah, the previous zoning was single family, and now because it's located within 400 meters of the frequent transit network, the bus that goes every 15 minutes, we can develop 6 new units on each lot.
Well, and that should make it worthwhile.
Exactly. We're excited about this project. It's across from the park. Well served by schools and amenities in the upper Deer Lake area. Established neighborhood with 1980s homes all around it. So it'll be one of the only small scale multi-unit housing projects in this specific neighborhood.
So when you
And as you can
st
see,
yeah, go ahead.
yeah, as you can see here, according to the Burnaby GIS mapping system, it's identified as allowing for 6 units on each legal lot.
Interesting. So that's the first thing you have to look at. If somebody comes to you and says, "Look, I got this lot, what can I do with it?" That's what you look at. Then what's
Yeah,
next?
can you do 4 units or can you do 6 units?
Depending on how close you are to urban transit, I guess.
Exactly. Yes. One of the next steps would be looking at what the driveway access is. So for this property, you can see that there's a back lane available here, which tells us that the city will want us to come and access the site through this back lane. Along with it being flat land, which will help control the hard construction costs.
Clearly, yeah, it's always difficult on the side of a hill. Okay, so we now have the lot. Now we have to make an application, I guess.
Yeah, so the first step would be to take it to the surveyor, and the surveyor will propose, in this case, a subdivision application because we're taking it from one 15,000 square foot lot into 2 new 50 by 150 lots, approximately 7,500 square feet each.
Interesting, yeah. And so
Now, one of the
that property really becomes to a maximum of its value, no?
definitely, definitely. And one of the main reasons why we like these subdividable properties is because when you have a single piece of property, you need to have at least 20 feet to put a driveway in, so that the new residents can drive two-way traffic. If one car is coming in, there's still enough room for the other car to come out.
Oh,
When you
makes
have
sense.
two properties side by side, then you can share that 20-foot drive aisle for both properties, allowing you to have additional buildable area on each side of the lot because you're not adding 20-foot driveways to each new property.
Because that's what you have to do. If you have no other way, you got to add that 20 feet, which takes away the buildable square feet, right?
Definitely. Condensing your floor plates, making your living spaces smaller. Many times that means you're losing a full-size dining room table on your floor plans, and has big effects on the livability of the end units.
And a price that people will
Definitely.
pay, right? So, okay, what's the next step?
engaging with a designer or an architect, and this will give us our initial site plan. So as you can see here, we have that shared driveway that will have cross easement agreements for each of these new lots so that the residents can all access both sides of the drive aisle. Single car garages into each unit, which it for Badler Development's strategy is critically important. We still haven't found the confidence to move forward on development sites where you don't have at least one parking stall per unit.
Makes sense. Even though the law bylaws say that if you're close to a mega transportation hub, that you don't need it.
Exactly. There's no minimum parking requirement for this development, and we're proposing at least one per unit plus an additional four visitor parking stalls on site so that there's flow over parking.
Yeah, I mean, to think that everybody, just because you're close to transportation, you will not need parking. Well, we're not there yet. You have to have, for the prices we pay for the finished unit, we want to be able to have our own spot. Makes a lot of sense.
My wife would, we have two children. It'd be very difficult to convince my wife to move to a property where she's going to have two kids, the groceries, and driving around the block looking for street parking. Wouldn't happen.
Makes sense. Okay, so we now have an idea of what we want to build. We have an architect. Now, all this costs money.
Then we would submit the subdivision application to the city of Burnaby. The subdivision application process, it was 30 days on the developer side to have the topographical survey completed, have our site plan developed, and submitted to the city. The city has a reduced subdivision inquiry process in Burnaby, where they responded to us within 30 days of when we submitted the application to let us know that the subdivision application in principle was supported by the city staff.
Wow, 30 days. That's almost impossible.
It was encouragingly fast, but that hasn't been the same for all of our subdivision applications. Some of the developments that are located within 800 meters of SkyTrain, and you have the potential to do 4 to 6 units or to develop as a condo building, has been much more uncertain on which pathway the city's going to direct us to move forward for our development style. Those responses are taking 2 to 3 months for cities to get back to us with clear direction on what the pathway forward would be.
But that's still not too bad. I mean, 2 to 3 months, it's not in some distant past, hopefully. It took years in some cases, and you don't like totally blame the city. They have to look at the totality. Do we need more schools? Do we need more swimming pools or whatever, community activities by putting in this development? Yes, we want more accommodation, but can we accommodate so much accommodation increase?
Definitely. It is one of the highlights, one of the reasons we're moving away from 6-story developments. Sitka House, 88 units in Port Moody, from the time we acquired the land to when we're going to give keys in the spring of 2025, was an 8-year holding period.
Jesus. I mean, 8 years of holding the money, 8 years of paying interest, 8 years of keeping investors happy. I mean, that's incredibly long.
Many, many years we were paying $25,000 a month for interest costs. And we would talk to the city when they say that they're understaffed, we would pay for a full staff member to be hired for the next 3 years if they could just work on our project and save us 12 months in holding time.
It doesn't, it's like I say, everybody sits around the table and let's have an idea. We'll make affordable housing and make a rule. Every single family lot in BC shall be able to put a sixplex. But then the devil is in the details. I was talking to Michael Gallo, famous retired architect now in Vancouver, and he says, to make every lot available is nuts, but he says some lots need much more detail and immediate release rather than saying this blanket, thou must allow the building, and then every municipality says, hey, just a minute, we have local issues that we have to take care of.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it comes forward. There's a lot of applications, but it really does create a better end product because there's competition between developers. Previously, whatever you built was absorbed by the marketplace because homeowners were just looking for a roof over their head.
Right.
Now we're starting to be more concerned about, well, how much backyard does each unit have? How big is the floor plate? Do we have parking? Do we not have parking? Because we need these to be very livable units so that the market will accept them at the price required to make the development feasible.
At what point does the municipality give you sort of the details on what is required in off-site services that you might have to include in your cost?
So there's a separate process after you complete subdivision. Then you move into an engineering pre-application process. And that process is about 60 days from the time that you submit and will identify whether you have to protect any of the street trees, whether you have to add separated sidewalks or street lights, curbs and gutters. And importantly, if you're a corner lot, the city's requiring corner cuts where you cannot develop your buildings in the corner of the project so that as cars are turning, there's visibility sight lines, which makes sense from the city side, but can have a big impact on your development if you have to notch off your corner units and they're no longer square.
Well, that's what I mean is, I know it's much used to say devil is in the details, but it really is because you think you have this perfect property, but just a minute, the rules of the city require you, the driveway has to be in a certain place. On a corner lot, you can't build right into the corner, And I'm sure there's a dozen of those requirements, but that's why you need somebody to help you with the application. And after minimal of costs, you know what you can do.
It's a much improved process. Many times previously, it would be 2 to 3 years before we would get these answers. So at least we're getting them within 90 days, and we can work with homeowners to give them additional value or additional purchase price for the time to create certainty. And as a developer, we'll always pay a higher price for certainty because the worst thing that we can do is have a surprise come at us. We're then stuck. We have to go back to our investors and advise them that the city's changed the rules on us or we've missed something. And it just leads to a difficult business model without knowing everything upfront.
Well, in a very different kind of environment, as over 10 years ago, we had a building in Smithers, and we had an approval from the city to strata title it. It was all approved, went through it. The city council was kicked out. The new council, we didn't want that. We don't understand it. We don't have any rules. We need this, and we need. And we ended up not doing the conversion. Luckily, we had bought right. We bought it, and it worked and operated as an apartment building. But what we had planned to do, and what we got actually, to no fault of our own. I mean, we had the approvals. It was just the new council says, "I'm sorry, we changed our mind."
It's very, very difficult. Very difficult.
In some
In
cases.
this, yeah. So this one, we feel good. We feel good about the city's give us the confirmation for the subdivision. It's a square property of flat land, and as you can see from the financials, the revenue numbers that are required are comfortably achievable in today's market. So the land purchase price in this example is $3.85 million. Budget for hard construction costs is $305 per buildable square foot. This also includes any off-site improvements. The soft costs, including city fees and architects, consultants, development management fees, budgeted at $1.7 million. Financing budget of $1.4 million. Leaves a total cost of $13.8 million to complete these 12 units, the two properties side by side, 6 units each being developed at the same time.
So what's the profit potential then?
So, based on lenders' needs, we need to show at least an 18% return on cost before the lender will finance this project,
Interesting. You don't
which
have
means
to have
we.
any pre-sales like in a larger project.
The credit unions have advised that they will not require pre-sales. However, we will likely launch a pre-sale campaign for approximately 25% of the units to de-risk the investment for the investors.
That makes sense. What is that financing length based on, that 1,400,000? Is that 2 years or 3 years? What is?
It's based on 2 years, and it's based on 2 years for this project because the homeowner agreed to a 1 year close. So we will be able to complete the subdivision and building permit application through our acquisition period. When we close on the properties, it will only be construction remaining, which is estimated at 18 months with a 6 month contingency.
Well, that sounds like you really got it worked out. It's very impressive.
Thank you. In order for the project to move forward, we would need a $16.3 million net revenue, which is our total cost plus our bank required profit margin. Adding in a budget for resale commission to hire real estate agents for the project marketing. For this project to be feasible, the revenues need to be at $16.8 million.
Well, it's certainly, if I ever had a property like that, then I would now feel either comfortable or not, right? Depending on what I saw the market doing and where it is, like you pointed out. You know, I mean, Burnaby is a very desirable place to be, no question. But there are good areas, great areas, and some not so good. And that's what you need to study to do on.
Exactly. So for these homes, that'll be 1,600 square feet each with a single car garage. In order for the project to be viable for investors, the end units need to sell for $1.4 million.
Which certainly seems feasible. You know, I mean, it's, what is it, 1,625 square feet, right?
Yeah, well under $1,000 per square foot in an area that has never had townhomes before. The only other options to live in that neighborhood is to invest over $2.5 million for a single family home. And there'll be very limited supply because, as we mentioned before, this is not an area where there's a high number of tear down homes. This is one of the only tear downs in that neighborhood, meaning it'll be one of the only projects that'll be marketed specifically in that location.
Well, I guess that seems also, when you take a look at a property, it seems what is on there is important. If I have a high quality home on there that's worth X amount or millions already, to get that increased by putting sixplex on it might not be feasible, right? But if you have a dump or a very dated home, then it makes sense to just take it down.
It's going to be a great opportunity. The realtor who helped acquire this property also lives in the neighborhood and feels confident that these revenue projections are conservative and that the investors who participate in this deal will receive a larger benefit once the project's fully complete in 3 years.
So people can hire you and saying, "I got this lot. What can I do with it? Do this on a one-off basis?"
We can do feasibilities on a one-on-one basis. We typically work with our realtor partners. So Brent Roberts, who's partners with yourself, we've referred many clients to so that Brent can help them with the feasibility study, and we will support Brent or yourself or any of our other partner realtors with whatever questions they have or specific insights.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Now, I should mention that I run a channel and I talk about things, but I don't advise, you know, so that's what I leave to the expert. And as you pointed out, Brent is the number one realtor in the Fraser Valley, and everybody that follows the channel sees we've done a number of discussions and details trying to dig into what is available and what isn't. Well, look, this is really interesting to me. Now, do you have a regular course that you also teach?
We have a number of training options. So there's an online course that goes all the way through how to determine what the bylaws are city by city, and then uses another property in Burnaby as a case study for how to design your site plan, how to build out your detailed pro forma, and how to move forward with acquisitions, how to structure deals with either homeowners or with investors, so that you can complete the acquisition.
Well, that's the thing, because I would say there's, you know, owners sit over a cup of coffee or a beer in the pub and say, "Okay, I got that lot. I wonder what I should put a six-pack on it," right? I mean, and there's so many issues that are coming up. I mean, if I right now have $1 million capital gains accumulated that's tax-free because it's my home. Does changing it to a sixplex affect that? Or is it, can I get the profit and then have a new deal started, right? I mean, I'm sure you should sit down with your accountant, you should down with experts like yourself and look at the total aspects of it. I've seen often we're a laneway home that we add without thinking, and that brings us 2,000 a month, all of a sudden loses me 30% of the tax-free capital gain. And I think we can be sure, and I've said it many times, that the government is eyeing this. Anything that's called tax-free gives them a rush, you know. I mean, a rush, like a red inflammation. They go, what can we do about it? So, you know, you wanna there, so there's many aspects you have to look at, and you really need help.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. For homeowners that participate with us, there's a number of options so that they can maintain their principal residence exemptions and still participate in the profit. So if there's anyone who wants to joint venture or do homeowner participation, those are opportunities that we've worked with homeowners in the past. Our focus is mostly Vancouver and Burnaby properties, and we're eyeing the remaining cities as they continually update the regulations to see whether they're economically viable.
They have till the end of this year, all the municipalities over 5,000 people have to have some sort of a plan.
They have to update their housing needs report by the end of this year and then work towards an OCP update. But for the cities that have already published their zoning bylaws, and Delta is an example, in Delta, on a 10,000 square foot lot, you could only build six units that are 800 square feet each. The regulations are so restrictive that you can't achieve family-oriented housing. And we'd like to see a community push and education process to help the municipalities understand how restrictive they've implemented those zoning bylaws, and it's not achieving the purposes, and how valuable it is for cities like Burnaby and Vancouver who have adopted these regulations and are providing more opportunities for grandkids to live closer to their grandparents, more downsizers options, and more opportunities to live in areas that were formerly exclusive, protecting single family zoning.
Well, and that's that, I think, certainly on paper, that's the goal of the government. They want to have more housing units and they want to do it faster. I mean, they've done away to a large extent with public hearings and the OCP that already have been done once. And, you know, I'm sure they're trying. And it just said, you know, the old details, they have to be looked at. And when you think about it, who would expect it to be easy? Come on. I mean, you know, build a high rise on a 60-foot lot or. You know, surely that has with it tremendous problems, particularly since when markets soften a little. You know, do I still want to go ahead? You know, what's my upside? So that's what I like about the detailed and structured plan that you have for this particular property, and you do that for every property.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Is there a new webinar coming up in the near future?
January 15th, there'll be a webinar, and that webinar will be on six local projects that'll be open for investment by the local community as part of Laidler Capital Fund One.
So, you know, if you go down below in the descriptions, there is you can reach Needler Capital. I mean, it's the website is what is your website?
The best website to go to for all information is laidleracademy.com.
Okay.
At that website, it has the training options, it has an opportunity to submit your address for a free feasibility study, and it also has an opportunity to subscribe to our email list that will give you notifications about different funds and webinars that are upcoming.
And you get the cheat sheet.
Yeah, the cheat sheets, laidleracademy.com/cheat-sheet, and that is continuously updated quarterly as cities update their zoning bylaws.
Okay, this is a tongue breaker. Cheat, like cheat/sheet.
Yeah, dash,
Cheat, oh dash.
cheat, dash, sheet.
Cheat dash sheet. So, littleacademy.com/cheat. Dash cheat. Okay.
Nailed it.
I'm gonna send it to you to make sure that I have it in the. And if you're listening to us on podcast, just go to ausbuzz.ca, send me a note, and I will send you all the details that we're talking about and how to get a hold of Bill. I certainly am very impressed with you. You put together conferences, you can put together the builders and the investors, and I mean 150 applications in Burnaby, 600 in Vancouver. We don't know how many there are throughout the province. This could be a major storm of development brewing, and maybe everybody's going to be a winner in the end, including the government.
We'll do our best to underwrite the opportunities for our clients. It's going to be interesting to see how all the other groups progress through this changing time.
Well, I'm going to leave you with this thought, and this is that Louis Grisard said, "Life is like a dog sled team. If you ain't the lead dog, the scenery will never change." Well, I would say you're the lead dog in the whole area of developing a single family home into a multifamily unit. So thank you very much for joining us. Any final words?
We're only successful because we have great partners like yourself, Ozzy. Thank you for everything that you've done to help us get our message out there and everything you've done for the real estate industry well before I entered into real estate in the early 2010s.
So you're trying to tell me I'm an old guy. Well, I've been around for a while and I've seen a lot of things going on, and real estate in the end always was the winner for the average investor. That's particularly true after we had a huge crash in the stock market just a couple of days ago. Anyways, I wish you well, all the very best, and please get in touch with Bill, get his cheat sheet, you know, the tongue breaker, and learn about his seminar coming up and participate. All the best to you, Bill.
Thank you, Ozzy.